Y'all relax. Y'all want to sing or something? Y'all want to do something kind of crazy? All right. You notice I took off my Andy Wong. I'm no longer at Wong anymore. That's it. Y'all just want to kind of, I want to hear your voices. Let me hear you sing, okay? You know this one? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. You got it. Lose all their guilty stains. Lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunge beneath the flood. Lose all their guilty stains. Good. Good. When they're plunged beneath the blood of Jesus Christ, they lose that guilt. Okay? Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in who? Christ Jesus. Right? Now, understand this, folks. Is this method that we're learning and understanding, is it the only method that can be used? No, not at all. There are going to be some people that are going to come into your life that are going to, they've been under the preaching of the gospel. They already know that they are sinners. They've been through that before. And there are going to be people who come to you in God's timing, which we call a divine appointment, that come across your path. And when you mention something to them about church or about spirituality or about Jesus or God, they're just like, I have been reading and understanding and going to church. I need to get saved. So what would you do at that time? Would you pull us out of it? Wait a minute. We need to talk about the law. Would you do that? Not necessarily. What would you do? They say, I need to get saved. You go, are you ready to trust, place your trust and faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior? And they're going, yes! And you lead them to that decision. That's all you have to do in those regards. So you don't have to use this method in that regard. So there are times when you don't have to. But this is, remember again, we just said this is one of the ways. Now I'm going to review just real quickly before we go to lunch. I'm going to review just real quickly and then take questions and answers that you may have. And if you don't have any questions, we get to eat. Okay? We don't have to wait till 11:30. All right. Okay, we got it? Now, that's good. So, anyway, here's the deal. God's purpose in saving us is that we have a wonderful life. Right? True or false? False, okay? It's not so wonderful sometimes. How many of you have had a loved one pass away within this last year? Okay? I have. My mother-in-law, precious, precious prayer partner, passed away of lung cancer. Started in breast cancer 17 years ago. Had a partial mastectomy. Came back 3 years ago. In the other breast, did a full, complete mastectomy. Showed up in her lungs and showed up in her spine and showed up all over her. And finally, she succumbed to it. You know, tremendous, tremendous woman. Wonderful woman, okay? But it was not a wonderful time to watch her go from 140 pounds down to 92 pounds. We watched her deteriorate. It wasn't wonderful. Here's the point. Do Christians die?
Yes.
Do Christians get sick?
Yes.
Do Christians get divorced?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do Christians' kids rebel?
Yes.
Yes. Do you see them going off as prodigals? Does it break our hearts?
Yes.
Yes. You see, life happens. Life happens. Some of it's good, some of it's not so good. But in the end, we can say with Job, yet you slay me, I will praise you. Right? So that's what's the good thing about it. So, why do you think that can be misleading then? Why is that message a little bit misleading? Your thoughts? God has a wonderful plan for your life. Why would that be misleading?
He tests you.
Yeah. Do I now? I'm sorry. Life happens. That's exactly right. Life happens. And it can be misleading because what happens if someone comes to know the Lord? They feel just wonderful. And you will have people that will be ecstatic. And they will be so grateful that they've come to know the Lord. And then the very next day, they lose their job. You see, they can say, well, wait a minute. I was promised this, and then this is what happened. Okay? So we have to be careful with that kind of thing. Why did Jesus come? To lead us to what? Happiness or what?
Righteousness.
And to escape what else?
The wrath
to come. Good. So y'all paid attention. That's good. That's fantastic. Good. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't half bad. Yeah? Okay? But you ain't good. Romans chapter 3. Okay? You ain't good. All right. Now we're going back to the law. Understanding about the law. The law shows us our what? Before God. Our guilt. And stops us from doing what? Justifying ourselves. Brings us to the knowledge of sin. It defines sin. And the law was designed for this very purpose. Alright. You may be thinking, okay, I've got some questions now. Thinking about this. Where is this going? What does it mean? What's going to happen now since we're learning about this? Ask those questions. Any questions? Nobody has any questions. Yes, sir.
Yeah,
we would have to have one so we don't get to eat. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
So, you know, the passage is talking about
the
Mosaic law, which if you're a Jew, it's fine, but if you're not, then how do you attack this issue of the law, even the Ten Commandments,
Just by presenting them. Does everybody know the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, if you're not a Jew,
right?
Who cares?
Okay, who cares? Well, that's a good question. Here's what we're saying: for example, you're lost, you don't know anything about the Ten Commandments. I would have to start my witnessing with you. Say, did you know that in the Old Testament of the Bible, are you familiar with the Bible? Most people know the Bible. I haven't met a whole lot of people. In fact, I haven't had one when I said, do you know that there is a Bible out there? And most people say, yeah, that's what the Christians believe. This is what I don't believe this, that, whatever. But still, so, well, in that passage in the Bible, God laid down some moral laws for His people to follow. And they were moral standards by which He says, this is what it means to follow Me and to be perfect. Now, let's see if you meet some of those standards. Would you play along with me? Even though you don't believe in that, let me just ask you a couple of questions to see if they may be real. And we'll talk about this tomorrow sometime. But if they may be real. And I'll say to you that one of those commandments says this: thou shalt not lie. Have you ever lied?
Yes.
Have you lied?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay. Everybody lies. That's right. Well, that's true. But God says thou shalt not lie. So, according to His moral law, even though you don't believe that, but just play with me along with His moral law, did you just break that commandment? Yes, I did. So therefore, what does that make you?
A liar.
A liar. Okay. I have told a lie before. You know what that makes me? It makes me a liar. There's another commandment there that says, thou shalt not steal. Have you ever stolen anything? Even as a little kid, maybe a pencil, maybe a cookie from your brother's plate, those kind of things. The Bible says that's stealing, and if we violated that, what does that make us? What does that make you? A crook or a what? A stealer or a thief. Now, by your own admission, you just told me you're a liar and a thief. Now, so therefore, by your own admission, you just told me you're a liar and a thief. And if you are a liar and a thief, and God says, thou shalt not, now, if you were to stand before God today and He said, do you measure up to the moral laws that I have given, would you be innocent or would you be guilty? Well, now, what are they going to say? They may go, so what? What do you do when they say, so what? Any thoughts? If they let you keep going, you just keep going. Well, let me tell you about what happens to those who are guilty before God, but don't take God's remedy for it. May I tell you that? Well, and they may go, no, I don't want to hear anymore. Well, thank you, man. Let me give you something. Okay? And we give them a tract. We give them something that they can take with them. Because why? Just because they don't pray to receive Christ, then could they later? Could they confess it later? In their book, The Way of the Master, and it's a great book, you ought to get it. It's called The Way of the Master. You can buy it at the bookstores. But in their book, they write up a letter. They put a letter in that one of the men that they witnessed to, and we'll see some of this tomorrow on one of the clips. They go out and they witness using this same kind of thing. One of the men that was on their video that they did wrote back in a year later and said, I understand that I am on that video. And I remember Mr. Comfort coming, you know, Ray Comfort, talking to me about this. I just wanted you to know that that's not me anymore. I received Jesus as my Savior. He wrote them back 1 year later to the date. So it's really kind of a cool thing. So if they don't do that, sir, you know, one of the things that they may not, but you just keep on going and see if the Spirit of God would penetrate the heart. If it doesn't, have you done your responsibility? Yes, you have to share. Now whose responsibility is it? It's Holy Spirit's. It's God's. Here's the great thing. Okay, does God bring people to Himself? The Bible says that. John 6:44 says, no man comes to the Father unless the Father does what? Draws him. So God is already active out there in the world doing what? Drawing people to Himself. Do you know who it is? No. But when you share it with everyone, guess what? Maybe that person is being drawn by the Spirit of God. It takes the pressure off us. We're just doing our responsibility by telling. God is fulfilling His responsibility by bringing. Does that make sense? So when we, it can kind of put away fear because we're going out knowing God's already working out there. In fact, from the beginning of time, guess what God is doing? He's working to bring about redemption in the lives of the people. So therefore, we just join Him what He's already doing by becoming the preacher. Remember Romans 10, I believe Diana wrote, read that this morning, right? Diana read that? Diana left me? Okay, bye. No, she's not here. She's out there with the food. Yeah, she didn't ask any questions. So she's already out there. Okay. Anyway, so I'm messing with you. It says, how do they hear without a what? Preacher. Who's the preacher? Me? Brother Ricky? Who's the preacher? It's you, the evangel. Okay? You're to go. All right. Any other questions? Yes.
I'm sure a lot of us can relate who are maybe first generation born in the States whose parents or relatives speak Chinese and mm-hmm. mainly Chinese. Mm-hmm. And when you try to speak to them, they said, no, if you're dead, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
No, and over the years, and because you don't have very good Chinese skills,
mm-hmm.
you can't say too much. You give them tracts, you give them tapes, you send someone who speaks Chinese to speak to them, and they're saying, nah, thank you, but nah. And even though you say, okay, you've done your job, but you still want them to be in heaven with you and others, and you feel the sadness, and you know every day you pray for God to touch their hearts.
What else can you do? Can't put a gun to their head. You could, but, you know, it won't be a true conversion. Here, that is the sad reality of sharing the gospel. If you look in the book of Revelation, and you read the book of Revelation, which I'm sure that y'all have done, 2/3 of the earth is wiped out under the wrath of God. Because 2/3 of the earth, the people of the earth, come back and rebel against God. Because the Bible does say, John chapter 3, verse 18, those who do not believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ are condemned already because they are in their sin. Does God desire anyone to perish. His desire is not, will they perish? Unfortunately. Unfortunately. Can God make it happen where they won't? Yes. Has He chosen so to do so? No. It is in His plan and understanding that there are some, even though they hear the gospel, will not respond because of the hardness of their heart. And we go away weeping, and we go away sad, and we continue to pray for them, knowing their fate, and we still cannot gloss that over. I just preached about 3 months ago, if you could call it that, my cousin's funeral. My cousin was a gay man. He died of AIDS and the cancer that was a part of that goes with that. He was an atheist. On his deathbed, I was in his room, and he kept telling me, I don't need this, I'm okay. But when you do my funeral, don't do anything religious. And I looked at him and I said, you're asking a preacher. That's like asking a preacher not to take an offering. You know? What are you thinking? You know? So that's funny. I go to family functions, and since I'm the only preacher in the family, they say, would you stand up and do something spiritual? And I say, okay, let's take an offering. So, anyway, it was one of the toughest things in the world, because one of the things that he requested at the funeral was for his friends, his gay friends, to get up and do the eulogy. So I had five of them that stood up in this place, and we were at some Rathco Chapel down on the St. Thomas University campus in this little weird place, and I was the only straight guy there. I was nervous. To say the least, you know. But I was sickened. Number one, my cousin's in hell. And I couldn't gloss over that. Yeah. Number two, these men stood up and talked about their sexual exploits that they had with my cousin. And laughed. And said, oh, you all remember when? And y'all remember here? I walked out of that place just going, Lord, I see why you just called down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. This is so sick. The depravity of men. You know? Lusting after other men. Doing what is unnatural, it says in Romans chapter 1. And verse 18 then says, for the wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness. But it's still, I looked at that and I said, I didn't walk away from there going, Lord Jesus, while they're in that building, you might want to go ahead and nuke that building. You know, I didn't do that. I walked away there with the sadness that those folks were going to hell because they had nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Didn't want to hear about Jesus Christ. And it's the same way with some of these folks. No, you're dead. You've done what you've done. You walk away, you pray for them, other opportunities come up. I've done the same thing with people on deathbeds, where I've walked into rooms and they've rejected Jesus Christ all their lives. I've witnessed to them, relatives I've had, and have come to them. And I've had some pray to receive the Lord. I've had some say, you know what, I'll be okay. And I would say, no, you won't. But still, they reject.
To answer your question, you can get somebody that is elderly, that is Christian, willing to witness that person, or you can get them tapes or CD or cigarettes and or tracks in Chinese.
You rejected all of them.
Well, yeah. No, you're giving him the seed. You never know.
That's true. You don't give up hope.
You
understand that to their dying day. I mean, I was in the day before my cousin died. The day before he died. And he was barely breathing, you know, and telling me, you know, he didn't want to hear it.
So how did you conduct his funeral?
I conducted his funeral basically according to his wishes. That I tried not to be too religious. but I did read some scripture, I felt was appropriate, because I did get with his sister before that, and I said, I know it's his wishes for me not to do something religious. I said, however, I can't in good conscience do that. I said, so at least let me read some scripture. So I read John 14, you know, let not your heart be troubled, Psalm 23, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you know, those kind of things. And just to see if the Word of God might, because it says the Word of God does not come back void. It accomplishes what it will. And so just reading some of that. And then mainly shared stories that I remember of my cousin and the good times I had with my cousin. Then I let these men take over. And then I went home and literally thought, I got to go take a shower and I'm sick. So that's the sad thing. It's just a sad thing. So any other questions that you have? There are some people who are going to respond to the gospel, some people who will not respond to the gospel, because they just said that's not for them. That's part of the sadness that we have. So. Yes, ma'am.
If and your friend, your cousin, said he didn't want to hear it, and we come across people that have hardened hearts, then are we just compelled, due to the love of our Lord, to witness to them that he is calling? You are saying he's calling them to him.
Yeah, he's drawing. But understand, as he's drawing, we have to understand this too, that there are those whom Satan has blinded, and they have not. And it says they're blinded to the gospel. So there are those who that are not hearing the calling. They're not hearing or heeding the call. If they say they don't want anything to do with it, one of the things I've said is, I've even said this to a guy, would you humor me and let me practice on you? And he said, okay, that's no problem. So I shared with him. At the end of sharing with him, guess what? That was really nice, preacher. Appreciate that. No response, but he let me practice on him. So guess what he heard? He heard the presentation. Okay, he heard the presentation. So I've used that before. You know, can I practice on you? And that's just, you know, help me out here. I'm trying to learn how to do this. Help me out. You know, well, I know how to do it. You know, but they're like, okay, that's fine. Go ahead. So, all right. Any other questions? Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I have several. Maybe you can do just a few good ones. In your review. That God is drawing people to Him, and of course God's will be done. So is it really necessary for us to share?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because He commands it.
Okay. It's just in our obedience to Him.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. Absolutely.
Okay. And if God is in control, how would you answer people say, well, God is sovereign, God is in control, why does He allow the trials and the troubles and the calamities to occur?
Good question. The answer that I normally give is this. It said, we live in a fallen world. When God established the natural laws of the world, because sin took over with the natural laws of the world, He doesn't work against the natural laws of the world. In other words, we're standing on the ground, and we're here on the ground because of what? Because God created the law of gravity. And He has set those in motion and put it as a part of His will. Along with that, we have the law of sin. The law of sin has not only affected us, but it's affected what? It's affected the whole world. And so because people are sinful, they will do sinful things, which causes us to reap the consequences. And I usually use this story when that happens. Here's a story. Say, perhaps, what's your name?
Wanda.
Wanda, you're standing in a bank line. Say, pretend you're hard of hearing. And a robber comes in and says, okay, everybody down on the floor. Everybody hits the floor. Wanda stands up. Why? Wanda's hard of hearing. Couldn't hear him. She turns around and goes, what? He said, I said get on the floor. Boom! Shoots her. Now she's on the floor. But she's dead. Okay? Was it a consequence of Wanda's sin? Who was it? What was the reason that she was shot? She was innocent. It was the other guy who's in a sinful nature in his sinful way, decided to pull the trigger. But who has to suffer the consequences? Not only Wanda, but who else? Her family and all who are close to her. And so there's a natural progression of a sinful nature that continues to happen, and it causes us to have trials and tribulations, because not everybody in this world is perfect. There are some. But there are not. All right. Another question?
Yes. If God is so loving, why doesn't He just, why didn't He implement a plan where everybody could be saved?
That's a good question. I don't know that one. Okay? God is love. Why in the world did He send His Son to die to show us this? Why didn't He just go ahead and take us all to heaven? I have no idea. That is something that we get to answer when we get to heaven. However, we do know this. Since He chose not to, how are we going to deal with this world now? And how are we going to deal with the Savior now? That's kind of what we kind of move towards when we ask those questions. If God is so loving, He's still loving. Why did He let September 11th happen? Again, sinful men chose their nature. You cannot be anything else besides your nature. Okay? For example, a dog came in one day to apply for a job. He jumped up into the chair and had in his mouth his resume. He put down his resume. And the boss looks at the resume and says, "This is highly unusual. I've never had a dog apply for a job before." You know? He said, "But this position requires shorthand." The dog whips out of his briefcase, whips out a note, crosses his legs, and starts writing shorthand. So that's amazing. He said, "But it requires that you type 100 words a minute." He jumps over the computer. Man, he's going. No mistakes. He said, "Man, I am very, very impressed. However, it does require you to be bilingual." And the dog said, "Meow." That's a crazy story, you know, but here's the deal. Have you ever heard a dog meow? It goes against his nature. He will not meow. Why? It's his nature to be a dog. It's our nature to be sinful. And people that are without Christ, even though we still sin, they have no advocate with the Father to forgive them of their sins. So guess what they're going to carry out? They have no new nature. They're going to continue to do what?
Sin.
And make evil decisions.
I'm sorry to be an advocate for the devil, but I was just wondering, but God created man. Why did He make him that way?
Okay. Let's put it this way. When God put him in the garden, it says you have the opportunity. At that point in time, man created with free will. At that point in time, created with free will. And it says, "You shall not eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil." What did man do? Actually, it was the woman. But we won't say anything about that. So she took of it, you know, and convinced him. But here's the great part about it. Okay, here's the great part about it, ladies. I'm getting myself off the hook. Who did God hold responsible? The man. Which is a clue to you guys that anything that happens in the marriage, guess what?
His fault.
Guess who God holds responsible? Isn't that fun? Yeah, that's right. That's a wonderful life, isn't it? So anyway, so therefore, since they did that and made that choice to do that, their eyes became darkened. Their eyes turned away from God and into themselves. And it was because they chose to do that kind of thing at that point in time. So from that, God cursed them and says, "This is the way it's going to be from here on out." Now, God gave them the capacity to choose at that time. We still have the capacity to choose now. But that capacity to choose has become limited. Why? Think with me. And I'll get off this because, you know, this gets into all sorts of theology. Why does it become limited in this regard as far as our freedom of the will? Number one, God is still what?
God.
Okay? He's still sovereign. And it says in Proverbs 21, it says, "The king makes his own plans, but God turns him wherever he wills." So in that regard, it is still sovereign. limited to a degree of our choices. But as far as following the evil of our heart, guess what? We will still do it on a daily basis. Right? And so will evil men. So that's why that's in this world. So that's why we have to understand in this regard. It's like someone asked me the other day, do you believe that Paul could have said no to Jesus when he knocked him off that donkey? I said, absolutely not. And he said, why? I said, because when Jesus says and calls you, you're coming. Who are you, old man, to question when Jesus knocks you off and blinds you off a donkey? You think he's like, you know what? That really doesn't fit my schedule right now, Jesus. I'll get back with you on that. No. That's why I said that becomes limited at that time, because he had an assignment and he did it. All right. I know it's 11:30. I've ran past, so Dr. Wu is coming up.
Thank you. Before I say grace, just let you know the food is ready. And like Pastor Ricky said this morning, there's 70 of us and there's 70 sandwiches. So you know what that means, right? And you can go into the rooms here to eat, and then in 1 hour just come back over here, okay? So there's tables in there, so just choose a room and just have a time of fellowship. So let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise you and just thank you just for who you are. Thank you this beautiful day you have created. And thank you for the opportunity for all of us to come together, have this time to learn through the words that you have given to Pastor Ricky and Pastor Andy. And we thank you for bringing him here. We thank you for the message that you have given us that we have learned already. And thank you for the food you provided. May it be used to give us strength and energy so we can come back and learn more of the things that we need to do to connect others to you and to glorify you. This we pray in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.